Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, let's say what's happening, and we give a very warm South African welcome to Todd Bryson. How are you, Todd?
I am doing well right here in Middle Tennessee. It's sunny and warm and actually not smothering hot for the first time in a couple of weeks.
Nice. It's always good when it's not smotheringly hot, but just warm enough. So I'm glad you're having a perfectly climate-controlled day. That's very cool. What's the coolest thing about living in Tennessee?
You know, I gotta say, being this close to Nashville is just really cool, and it gets a vibe as kind of a country music hub, but it's so much more than that. I mean, if you walk down the street of Nashville, you've got live music from every genre, just every 5 feet, really. I mean, every building has their own spot. They got their own gigs. They've got all the different sights and sounds going on all at once. So Nashville is definitely a big tourist stop that I would recommend.
Well, you just have Connie Britton and that TV show Nashville to blame for the brand perception of it just being country music. But if she's helping out with the tourism, then that's a good thing too.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. You are someone who helps creative people find their untapped potential. You're the author of The Creative's Curse. It's this fantastic book about the pains of being creative at three different phases. You describe the phases as discover, discipline, and destiny. And we're going to touch base on that in a second. But I got to weigh in on this article of yours on medium.com, which is how we found you. I think it's so cool because it kind of owns every aspect of being a millennial and sort of says to other generations, actually, you can take a lot away from the millennial generation. Talk to me about you know, the thought behind putting a piece like this onto the internet.
Well, I got to tell you, it's funny how this piece even came about and that it's gotten so much buzz, because to be 100% transparent with you, Kelman, I mean, I wrote this piece to help out a friend. I have a friend, Declan Wilson, who's also got a book out called The Millennial Way. And I thought, you know what, we'll put something together to try and help promote the book. And I just went, I went much deeper than I thought I would go, and came up with kind of all of these rules or all of these templates that people in my generation think about. And so although it started as kind of a, just a favor for a friend, it really grew into this piece, that's a guideline, not just for millennials, but for everyone who kind of stumbles across it. And I think, part of what has fueled the buzz a little bit is the amount of negative response that I've gotten back from people who think that I'm just, let's see, what was it? I need to practice some humility, which may be true, or that they're just going to give up on what they're trying to do with the world. Cause clearly, you know, millennials are taking over and my generation is past and they're sick of seeing it. So you get both sides of the response for sure. But I think that just speaks to kind of how powerful a piece this is.
Yeah, well, listen, I think what's fantastic about this piece is that you own all the criticism that millennials have received from other generations, this idea of being self-centered and that. And you actually turn it around and say, well, you know what? Actually, maybe you need to be a little bit more self-centered in order to achieve your dreams, maybe a little bit less humble, and maybe, you know, learn a little bit from this generation in terms of, you know, how headstrong they are and how self-centered they are, and that self-centered is not always such a bad thing.
Right. And that's honestly, that's the piece that's received kind of the most heat. But I really think, and I believe in my whole heart, that one of the biggest differences in my generation and those that have come before us is the fact that we have a much easier time taking credit or accepting what we do well. You know, I think back even just 50 years ago, there was a mindset of, you're paid to come to a place and work and do what you do and sit down and shut up and like, and follow the rules. And you were just this cog and kind of a big machine and everything was moving and you were just hired as a part, as opposed to now where we know that we need people to exist. Companies are starting to realize this everywhere that like people are more than just overhead, or they're more than just a number on a line. It's actually what keeps the company going. People are everything. to a company nowadays, and they always have been. But right now, what we're really seeing is this movement to where people are kind of stepping into their own power and what they do best. And the sooner you're comfortable with what you do best, the sooner you can offer maximum value and maximum effort to wherever you are in the world.
Let's pick up on some of the specific talking points in the article, How to Think Like a Millennial. I want to pick up on this idea of seeing oneself as an entrepreneur versus as an employee.
Yes.
And that alludes to this idea of really just, you know, being fervently a believer in what it is that you think you have to offer the world.
Yeah. And that goes right along with what we were just talking about, right? And on the side, you know, one of the best things that I've done for my own life, I've recently kind of started a small venture on the side of creating custom Snapchat geofilters. And it's an area with a lot of competition, with not so high margins. You know, it's going to be one of these things that I think there's a lot of battle in the market for, to see who kind of takes over. But one of the best things that I realized for that, or that I took from that venture so far, is that money doesn't just come out of nowhere. Like, I think if you're a salaried employee, and you're, even if you're listening to this, right, you're sitting at your job, it's the middle of the day here in the United States with a bunch of my folks that I'm going to share this with, you're sitting at your job and you're just getting paid to show up, which is a concept that is completely foreign the second you step into your own business, or the second you realize that, wait a minute, this money's got to come from somewhere. You know, mm-hmm. something has to happen for me to even get paid. And we get really spoiled on that. And I say me personally, I've just been so accustomed to showing up and the money's just kind of there. But the second you realize that that's not always the case, you kind of take this entrepreneurial mindset, and whether you're in sales or not, you can kind of step into your company. You don't have to start your own business to kind of get this, but you step into your own company and you start to realize, okay, this money's got to come from somewhere. What can I do to make the business better, right? Like, sometimes people just step into work, they do their job, and they do it to the best of their abilities, and they wonder why they never get a promotion, or they never kind of move up the ladder or get what they think they deserve. And 9 times out of 10, it's because they're just showing up and doing a job, as opposed to looking at, okay, how does the company make money? Okay, what are the company's greatest needs right now? Okay, what can I uniquely offer that can either make us more money, save us more money, or improve my own team so that we function better as a company?
But this idea of, you know, one not thinking that one has a lot to offer, this idea of doubting oneself, I mean, if the millennials are better at, you know, believing in themselves, that's a fantastic win for humanity.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Obviously, in my opinion, I think that's an incredible thing, because it's, again, this idea of stepping into your own power. And I don't know why we're like that. You know, I write about this in the article, that I don't know why we are this way. It may be, you know, because so many of us have read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week, and we're buying into these ideas. It might be because we just naturally evolved that way, because we stepped into a world where literally I can tweet, you know, 140 characters and anyone in the world can read that. So there's this underlying message of, you are special, you are important, what you have to say has meaning to other people.
Which is okay. I don't know why everyone thinks that that's right. Not a good thing. Like, it's okay.
Yes.
I wonder if the older generations aren't just jealous.
You know, I wonder that sometime, and I get it, because think about it. Like, when I just think about the difference that the internet specifically and technology specifically has had on my life, where someone, even, you know, I was born in 1989. So someone even born 10 years before me, I know someone specifically who was 10 years before me, who didn't have kind of this instant information access that we have now. So they went to school, they showed up, they had to wait for everything. They had to, you know, follow basically what they were given, and someone 10 years behind them comes up and says, oh, hey, I know this, 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 and this, because simply they kind of had the ability to learn more, sooner. And so I'm sure there is a little bit of jealousy or a little bit of hostility that's there, even if people aren't aware of it.
Let's talk for a second about creativity in a millennial context, because I don't want to give too much away around the piece. It's on medium.com, How to Think Like a Millennial, and people can find it.
Okay.
But I am very interested. You know, you've written this book, The Creative's Curse, a book about the pains of being creative at every phase. Talk to me about being creative in a millennial context and how that's a little different if you are young in this world right now and trying to figure out your creative voice.
Well, if you're trying to figure out your creative voice specifically, the best thing that you can do is start. You know, I think a lot of times we worry, and I'm still, even with my generation, I have trouble getting this message across to people that creativity is the newest thing. Like last time I checked, the only thing that robots can't do is come up with new ideas or come up with new tactics or marketing area or something different to try. What's interesting about the human beings in general is that we have the capacity to see what's going on and to do something completely opposite without the knowledge of whether or not it will work. Like that's something that's phenomenal to me. You talk about somebody like Andy Warhol, who obviously is a very famous painter. He did the multicolored Campbell's soup cans. And who on earth would have thought of that? I mean, that's not something that you can look at a marketing pattern or look at human behavior and say, oh, you know what? I think people will be really attracted to this sort of art. It's just not the way things work. And so for millennials specifically, we have to come from our own experience and recognize that the world is changing and we are a part of that change. And the things that we have to offer, especially from a creative standpoint, from our own experiences and our own abilities and our own opinions, are going to be three of the core things that make up who we are and then who we help change the world into.
It's been very cool speaking to you. We're just about out of time, but I kind of want to tie it all together with just a reason as to why it's okay to believe in yourself, why it's okay to believe in your creative potential, why it's okay to own the fact that you're a millennial, why it's okay to sometimes be a little self-centered. Just drop a little bit of a message.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Just exist and own your stuff a little bit more.
Because you are the only person on the planet who is you.
Yeah.
And I think people discount that. I think people look at the world, especially now where everything is so noisy and so loud, and you look at the internet and think, how on earth could I possibly make a difference here? Or how on earth could I possibly even be seen among all the great things that exist now? But the fact of the matter is, you talk about your experiences, you talk about your opinions, you talk about your abilities, and being able to communicate that with the world is a combination that nobody else is going to have. And it's not a self-centered thing. It's just a self-assured thing in recognizing that you are one in 6 billion, and that's okay.
That's okay. Todd Bryson, live from Tennessee, thank you so much for weighing in. The book is called The Creative's Curse. It's a book about the pains of being creative at every phase, and the piece is called How to Think Like a Millennial. It's on medium.com. Todd, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you so much, Kelman. I appreciate it, man.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.